Psalm 107, reading from verse number 1 down to verse number 15. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness, in a solitary place. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and being in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contempt the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought them down, their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of all their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and break their bands in asunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. I'd like to draw your attention tonight to really the first verse. It says, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And I want to tell you this evening, we're living in a world, no doubt, where there's lots of wickedness. In fact, the Bible says in Psalm 12, it says this. Let me just read this for you. Psalm 12. This is really a picture, I think, of today and what we are living in. It says in Psalm 12, the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. And that's what it feels like today, doesn't it? There's lots of evil and wickedness in the world. But I want to say to you tonight that our God we're preaching this evening, the Savior of the world, the one who's made himself known through the Lord Jesus, is a good God. And the Bible says of him, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And there's lots of wickedness in the world today, but God is good. Psalm 52 says this, that the goodness of God endureth continually. And it says that in relation to how wicked and evil man is. It says, why boasteth thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. And we're living today, no doubt, in days of difficulty and hardness. But I want to say to you in this gospel preaching tonight that we have a God this evening that we can be thankful for, because he is good. And the world is changing. The wicked are exalted on every side. The vilest man are exalted. And no doubt the world is going down and there's much destruction and distress and who knows what's really happening. But there is a God tonight in the gospel who is good, and we can give thanks to him, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. And I've been greatly thinking about this thought of his mercy lately in the last few weeks. And Psalm 36 talks about his mercy. And it says this about his mercy, verse 5, Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. Oh yes, there's lots of wickedness today. But look up above you. Do you see the clouds tonight? Do you see the goodness of God tonight? It's in the heavens. His faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. We can look up tonight and we can see our God tonight and how faithful he is, despite the world and all that's going on. And this is what the Christian can say. This is what the Christian can say in this psalm. Look what it says in verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those who have been bought back, that's what it means to be redeemed, to be purchased from sin, who have given their life over to sin and misery. Yes, all of us have done that. But the redeemed, those who have been bought back, those who have been saved, those who have given their life to the Lord Jesus, they can say these things because he is good and they found him. Can I ask you tonight a very simple question? Do you know the goodness of God in your life? Do you know it? Are you familiar this evening with how good God is? Do you know his mercy? And if you do, And if you are redeemed, if you are a Christian, if you are saved, can you say so? Or are you living in doom and gloom? Lots of people today who call themselves Christians are living in doom and gloom. They live in a miserable place. They don't seem to be moving forward for the Lord. In fact, they're almost moving backwards. Are you living tonight knowing the goodness of God and how good he is? Can you say so? Or are you living perhaps away from the Lord this evening? Well, I believe that God has for us here some wonderful lessons that we can learn. And if you're listening tonight and you're not a Christian, then I believe there's some things here that perhaps will speak to you. And I hope that it encourages Christians too. Look what it says in verse number 3. This is talking about God's people. He gathered them out of the lands, from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. And my friend this evening, our God is good, and the redeemed of the Lord can say so, because God is doing a work today, still is, of gathering men and women to himself. That's what he does. That's his business. He's in the business of saving souls. That's what Jesus said. I'm here about my Father's business. He's in about the business of taking those who are lost, who do not know the Savior, who are far away from God, and bringing them to know him. And you might feel this evening you're far away from him. You don't know him. You're too far from the Lord. But look what it says. God gathered them from the lands, from the east, from the west, from the south, and from the north. And that tells me something this evening. God is looking to save people from all over. The Bible says he desires none to perish, but that all would come to a knowledge of the truth. You feel this evening that you're too far away from God. Well, look what God says he did for the people of Israel. He took them from all the lands from around about them, from the east, from the north, from the west, from the south. He took them. He gathered them together. And in fact, Psalm 147 talks about Israel in this way. It says this, and I believe this is all pictures for us. It says, he buildeth Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. That's what God is looking to do. He's looking to take people who know that they're broken, who know they've got no hope, who know that they're lost without him, and gather them to himself. Are you tonight redeemed? Have you been gathered in? Have you given yourself to the Lord Jesus? There are many people today who were once perhaps walking with the Lord, but they've wandered away. God is looking to gather you in tonight. Lord, it says he gathered them from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south. Let me tell you something this evening. There is nowhere too far that God can't reach you. This is what Psalm 139 said. It says this, David says this, O Lord, thou hast searched me and know me. There's nobody like God who knows you like he does. He knows you inside out. He knows you're down sitting and he knows you're uprising. He knows your thoughts from afar off. Think about that tonight. Before you even think, God knows. And there's not a word in my tongue, the Bible says, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. God knows all about you, my friend, this evening. And in fact, in verse number 7, it says, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Let me tell you, you cannot get and escape the presence of God. If I ascend up into heaven, we could say, in the highest point of earth. I don't think he's literally speaking of heaven, because he goes on to talk about hell in just a moment. But that maybe you disagree with me that tonight. But that's what he's speaking. The highest point, he's there. And he talks about hell. If I make my bed in hell. Some people would refer to that in the Old Testament to the lowest point on the earth. If I make my bed in the lowest point, the darkest, deepest dungeon of this earth. What does it say? Behold, thou art there. There is nowhere too far away from God this evening. Oh yes, you might be in sin tonight and you might feel miserable, yes, but there is nowhere too far that you can not escape the mercy of God. That's why we can say tonight, as the psalmist began, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. I was far from God, yes, and I didn't know God, yes, but God is looking to gather people tonight, even from the pit, far away from himself. He's longing to do that. Do you know him? Now look at the condition of these people. Look what they were doing. Verse number 4. They wandered in the wilderness. I wonder this evening, do you feel like that in your life? I know that the children of Israel literally did wander in the wilderness for 40 years. The journey shouldn't have taken them that long in reality, but they disobeyed, didn't they? The journey could have taken them much less time than 40 years, but they disobeyed. They didn't follow the Lord, did they? And maybe tonight the reason why you are far from the Lord is because you're not listening to him. You're not putting him first. You're not seeking him. You know the Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Can I ask you this evening, are you seeking the Lord? Look at their condition. They wandered in the wilderness. They were in a place far out where nothing was. There was no fruit there. There was no life there. It was a desolate place. It was a waste. Look what it says. It says they went in the wilderness in a solitary way. They were on their own. And that describes everybody tonight that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You're desolate. You don't know God. You don't know his peace. You don't know his presence. You're on your own. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 2. It says this, those who don't know the Lord Jesus, those who are not saved, it says this, that there was a time, in verse number 12, that ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promises, having no hope, and without God in the world. Ye had no hope, and ye didn't have God in this world. That's what it feels like to be lost this evening. Solitary. And look what it says in verse number 4. They found no city to dwell in. Oh, they tried perhaps different places, didn't they? Along their way. Perhaps they wanted to be like other gods. And remember when Moses went up to the mountain to commune with God, what did they do within a few days? They said, Moses has left us, let's make a golden calf. They asked Aaron, do you remember? And they said, this be the God that brought us out of Egypt. And they tried things, and there was nowhere for them to dwell. Maybe tonight that's what you've come to this evening in your soul. You've tried all sorts of things, but nothing satisfied. There's nowhere you can find peace in your soul. Now look with me in verse number 4. Sorry, in verse number 5. Because here we have the condition of their soul. And I believe this is the condition of every soul that doesn't know the Lord Jesus. Look what it says. Hungry and thirsty. There are two things there that speak of the Lord Jesus. Because we believe in John chapter 6 he tells us, if we eat of the bread of life, which is him, we'll never hunger again. Will never die. And these people were hungry because they didn't have the Lord Jesus with them. His presence wasn't there and they weren't feeding on him. They didn't know him. They didn't have his peace. Are you hungry tonight? And many men and women tonight are hungry and they try all sorts of things to try and fill the hunger of their soul. They try money. It doesn't work. And many people who call themselves Christians live in this world trying to just get by. Buy a house, perhaps. Buy a car, and they're satisfied perhaps for a little while, but really, truly, deep down, their soul is hungry. Because there's only one answer to a hungry soul, and it's the Lord Jesus. You remember what the Lord Jesus said in the Gospels? He said this in Matthew's Gospel. He says, blessed are they that thirst and hunger after righteousness. Many people tonight are hungering and they are thirsting for the truth of the gospel that only can be found in him. They're thirsting for it. They're longing for it. They are longing to be filled. And they're thirsting for it and they're trying all sorts of things to fill it. In fact, look what the condition results in verse number 5 of these people. Their soul fainted in them. They're almost ready to give up hope. Are you feeling like that tonight? You've tried all sorts of things. And perhaps this last year has shown you, deep down in your soul, that you almost feel like you're ready to faint. There just seems to be no hope anymore. There just seems to be no future anymore. My friend, you may feel that's a dark place, and it is, but it's actually a good place to be in, because the Bible says the Lord is nigh unto them of a broken heart. He is near to those who know that they can't go on any longer unless God intervenes. I spoke to a man just this past week who said he's longing for God to help him. He knows he needs the Lord's help. He's broken. And many people tonight will not be saved, will not come to a place where they know they need to trust the Lord Jesus because they're too filled with this world. They're not hungry and they're not thirsty. And the sad thing is many believers today are not hungry and thirsty for the Lord because they're living this world on everything else and not the Lord Jesus. Is that how you feel? Look at some other things of this different souls, this condition of this soul. It says in verse number 9, they were the longing soul. He satisfied the longings. They were longing for help. Are you longing tonight to be saved? Are you longing tonight to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Are you longing? He filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Yes, they're hungry. And in verse number 10, it tells us, as they such as sit in darkness in the shadow of death. Many people today are in darkness. In fact, in Isaiah, it talks about Isaiah number 9, it says this, that they sat in darkness, but they saw a great light. They were like blind men walking along the wall, it says in Isaiah 9. Couldn't see the way, trying to find the way. Do you feel like that tonight? Your soul is broken, yes, within you, and you can't say the Lord is good because you don't know his goodness and you haven't been redeemed, you haven't been saved, and you feel like a little bit like a blind man that's walking along the way, trying to find the way, groping as it were against the wall, trying to find the way along, but you can't, and you can't see. This is what the soul is. He's in darkness, and he's sitting there. He can't move. He can't seem to move because he can't see. Maybe that's how you feel tonight with your soul. You don't know where to go and you've almost given up hope. And it says, being bound in affliction. That's why you're in darkness, because your sin makes you to be in affliction. And it talks about, and in iron. Iron was something that they used to oppress people with. Chains. And that's maybe how you feel deep down in your soul. And let me tell you, nothing in this world would ever get you free from that condition. No therapy. No entertainment, not even a vaccine this evening will get you free. That's why people today are desperate to preserve life, because they think that this life is all they've got and all they're living for. There were stories of people in London who were young, who hadn't been called up yet for their vaccination, but they were skipping the queues because they were so desperate to preserve life. Can I ask you this evening, are you just living for now? Because let me tell you, many people in the world are living for now, aren't they? And they are sitting in darkness. Look what it says, in the shadow of death. They are almost ready to die. That's how they feel. They're in darkness. It's interesting, some people pass away very suddenly, don't they? But some people know somehow, deep down inside their soul, that life is about to be over. They can almost feel it. You can see people who sit in darkness. And there they are. And they're ready to die. And now you might wonder, well, why are they in this position in the first place? And maybe people wonder that. Why am I here? Now this is what it is tonight. Because in verse number 11 it tells us why the people got to where they were. And this is why all of humanity, men and women today, are where they are today, because of this simple truth. Verse number 11, they rebelled against the words of God. That's why men and women are where they are today, because they are living in a state of rebellion. They don't want God. They don't want to know him. And they don't want to know his ways. You know what the Bible says about the one that doesn't want to know the ways of God? The fool have said in his heart, that's what it says, there is no God. God is not in their thoughts, it says. They don't want to know him. I wonder tonight, do you not want to know God? Well, the way that leads is a way of darkness and a way of hunger and a way of thirstiness, a way of the wilderness. That's where it ends up. And maybe you feel that tonight, that that's where your soul is. Look what it says. They rebelled against the words of God. Can I ask you tonight, are you ignoring God? And now, this isn't just to ignore simply, is it? To rebel is to go the other way. And many people are rebelling against God today. And this whole past year, I believe, has been a warning from God. God is going to move. Yes, and he's going to come again soon, we believe, yes. But are you ready to meet him? Are you ready tonight to stand before God? Or are you still in darkness and your soul still longing to be filled? This is what it says. They rebelled against God. The words of God, that's why the word of God is powerful and quick. That's why the word of God, it says in Hebrews chapter 12, chapter 4, says it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It is the discerner, the intent and of the intents and thoughts of the heart. God's word shows you what you are tonight. And I want to tell you this evening, if you are in this place of darkness and you're in this place of rebellion, it is because, my friend, you do not know the Savior, or you're away from God. Look what it says. And they had contempt against the counsel of the Most High. It's interesting. Many people today have not only rebelled against God and gone the other way, but they've got contempt against him. How dare God say those things about me? How dare God say this is the right way? Let me tell you, that way leads to this way of darkness and hunger and thirstiness and being weary in the wilderness. And you might feel tonight how sad that is to be. But let me tell you what God does for these people. And maybe this is why you're at the place you're at today. Because in verse number 12, this is what it says. Because they rebelled against the Lord, and because they had contempt against his counsel. Look what it says in verse number 12. Therefore, because of this, he brought down their heart with labor. And that's true, isn't it? The wages of sin is death. There is a result for rebellion. And the place that you're in tonight without God is a result, a direct result of your disobedience to him. That's the problem with all of humanity. And the way and the condition that the world is in today is because man and women have said no to God. And therefore, this is what God does. He brings their heart down with labor. Look what it says. They fell down and there was none to help. Oh, they had strength maybe at some time. And they had help maybe at some time in the world. But let me tell you, when God came and broke that soul down, there was nothing that could help them. Let me tell you tonight, this is what God is doing, I believe, in these days. Yet days of darkness, yes, and days of hardness, yes, but days in which God is trying to get your attention. Men and women are dying and perishing because of their sin. Let me tell you something, my friend. You can live on this earth as long as you think you can live and enjoy it. But what about after this world? What about after this life? The Bible says, then comes the judgment. Are you just living for here and now? That's what many people are doing today. They're just living for here and now. They're not worried about eternity. And maybe God is trying to bring you down. So you will realize there's a next life. There's an eternity to think about. There's something next. Will you respond like many of these people did? He brought them down low. Now, there's a wonderful encouragement, though, in this text tonight, because there's something wonderful that happened. When men are brought down low, they have two choices, don't they? Either to run to the Savior and to believe and to believe upon him, or to continue rejecting him. And let me tell you, if you continue to live and reject the Savior, there's only one way it leads to, and that is the way of rejection by God and the way of judgment and the way ultimately of hell. But this is the truth tonight. This is what happened tonight for those who got to this place. Look what it says in verse number 13. Then they cried unto the Lord. I wonder tonight, that is the cry that God is longing to hear. Look what it says in verse 13. In their trouble. Men and women tonight may feel down low because of their sin. And they may feel broken tonight because of their sin. Yes, they may feel that way. But the answer is not to then continue in it. But look what it says. Cry to the Lord. And notice what it says. In their trouble. They didn't cry when everything was going good. They didn't cry when the money was coming in. And they didn't cry when they had all their health together. And they didn't cry when perhaps the world was going a good way. But when everything around them was crumbling and they knew that nothing would work, then they began to cry to God. Can I tell you today, the Lord Jesus has his arms open tonight to the soul that will just cry to him. Look what it says, in their trouble, in your sin tonight, if you cry to God, he will come and save you. Many people today feel, well, I want to be right with God, but I've got to clean up my life first. I've got to change the way I am. My friend, these people didn't cry to God trying to change the way they were. They came in the way they were, crying to him. They realized the mess of what they had done being away from God, and they ran back to him. Can I tell you, even us Christians today, those who claim to be a believer, we have got to do that again, haven't we? Because the truth is, we have put so much emphasis on us and what we have and what we do, and there's no room for the Lord any longer. We need to cry again, don't we? Are you going to cry again to the Lord this evening in your trouble, in your distress? Yes, Lord, I've broken thy law. I'm a sinner. I've gone down a way which is far from you, but in my trouble, I'm coming back to you. Let me tell you, this is what it says. He saved them. Now notice what it says. He saved them out of their distresses. He took them from their trouble and from their darkness and from their hunger and from the west and the east and the north and from the wilderness and all these things we've read. He took them from that position and he pulled them out of it. Look what it says, verse 14. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death. And look what he does. He break their bands asunder. Oh, my friend, this is a great picture of the gospel, isn't it? You were once in your sin, yes. And you were once far from God, yes. And you didn't know him, yes. But he brought you out of it all. And he brought you out of darkness, oh, into his marvelous light. That's what the Bible says. And he brought you from the shadow of death. No longer are you dead in law in your trespasses and sins. But now you're alive in Jesus Christ. And look what he does. He breaks your bands asunder. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to have mercy on those who had no hope. He came to be a savior to those who were not righteous. He came to be a physician to those who were sick. Jesus came for you. And he's longing tonight in this gospel preaching for you to turn back to him again. Can I ask you this evening, will you turn back to God? Maybe God has just allowed it this evening that this word would come to your heart again, afresh, that you might turn to him. Will you do that tonight? He brought them out of darkness. He brought them from the shadow of death. He broke their bands asunder. God did that for you this evening. And so you can say, like the psalmist, I give thanks to him because he is good and he's had mercy on me. He's redeemed me from my sin, from my enemy. He's filled my soul. Look what it says in verse number 7. He led them by the right way. Oh, thank God for that this evening. God is the one that leads you in the right path, not me, not anybody else this evening. You get your guidance, your leading from God himself. God has led you tonight in the right way. And the way perhaps this evening is standing there and it's open and it's ready for you to walk in by faith and believe the Lord Jesus is the right way. And look what he says. He led them that they might go to a city of habitation, somewhere where they can live. And tonight I believe, spiritually speaking, God has made a place that you can abide, you can live in, as it were, with him. Will you come to the Lord Jesus tonight? Will you turn to him? This is what the Bible says many times in this psalm. But let me give it to you again. Verse number 8 and verse number 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. God is good. and his mercy endureth forever. The redeemer of the Lord can say so because God can take broken sinners, ones who do not know the Savior, ones who are broken and lost, who are at enmity with God, whom the Savior died for, who became sin for us, who took upon himself the punishment of the cross for us. It was put all on him so you could be saved this evening. Will you come? Oh, my friend, I plead with you tonight to be saved, to give your life to the Lord Jesus. He brings the broken out. He breaks the bands asunder. He does it again and again and again and again. He wants to do it for you tonight. Look to Jesus, my friend. You say, I'm not sure he's able to. Look to the cross. Look to the way in which the Lord Jesus went to the cross for you. But he didn't stay there, did he? Because on the third day he rose again. Isn't his death enough? Isn't his resurrection proof that God is well pleased with what Jesus has done? Yes. So come to him tonight. Believe upon him. If you're a Christian tonight, I wonder, have you got back into the way of the wilderness again and darkness and despair and misery? So many Christians have. So many Christians today have seemed to almost given up. I want to tell you, that's not the way which God wants us to be. He wants us to be praising him for his goodness and praising him for the wonderful works of the children of men. You know, the last people in the world today that should be fearful should be us as God's children. We have our eternity ahead of us. And if you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, your eternity is sure, isn't it? You know the Savior. And the last of any of us that should be fearful tonight should be us, God's children. Maybe tonight you become overwhelmed with fear. Remember what the Lord Jesus said when he came on that sea in the storm? He said to Simon Peter, I think it's in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, come. And Peter begins, doesn't he, to walk on the waves. And as soon as he sees the wind and as soon as he sees the waves, he begins to sink. He took his eyes off the Savior. Maybe tonight you as a believer have taken your eyes off the Savior. You've taken your eyes off the one that has redeemed you from the hand of the enemy. And your praise is silent now. You won't lift your voice to sing. You won't lift your voice to praise him because you've become one who's gone back into the way of the wilderness and found yourself to be hungry and thirsty. Can I tell you, the message is the same for you this evening. Come back. Come back. Come back to God. And it starts with you crying to the Lord in your trouble. Will you do that tonight? Will you take your trouble? Yes. But will you take it to the Lord and leave it with him? Let's pray together and then we'll sing one final hymn. In just one moment, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for the message of the gospel, that you take wounded, broken sinners, sinners who are lost in this world, sinners that don't know thee. You take them and you have mercy and you save them. And we pray this evening that you would do that tonight. Take them, Lord, please, and save. We ask this evening that if there be one that's lost, that you save them before time runs out. And we ask you this evening, if there be ones that yet do not know the Saviour, then please do it again too. But we pray also this evening for those who are Christians, who claim to know thee, but they perhaps have got a little bit distracted and discouraged. Oh God, we pray, have mercy upon them, we ask. And we commit these things to thee now. In Jesus' name, amen.